It's a big week when RHAP is on the road in Chicago. Check out my live show from Chicago. That's going to be up on Thursday, Wednesday night. Shannon Gus is going to be live with you with Kelly Wentworth after Survivor. And we preview the Dondi finale with Deal or No Deal Island host Joe Manganiello, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
I was flipping through the channels the other day, but that was nothing good.
Is back this week as we are getting ready to talk about one of Netflix's biggest returning shows that's back this weekend. It's Love is Blind, season 5. And back with us, a man who is always ready to step into any pod. It's Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
Rob, can you see me? I'm in the pod.
Tell me about it.
You can't see me?
Yeah.
What do you want to know?
Yeah. So what kind of, are you a morning person?
Am I a what person?
I'm a morning person.
Oh, what person? I'm sorry. Could you say that one more time?
Yeah.
I assure you that I am. I promise.
Yeah. Do you like breakfast in bed? Yes.
Yeah. I love all those things. Rob, we're talking about Love is Blind. We're talking from inside the pods. We're talking about this crazy show. I have so many opinions, and I'm not going to release any of them on this podcast because the people who love this show are crazy, and I don't want to piss them off.
All right. Well, we are blessed here today to have the host of our celebrated Love is Blind coverage, who will be kicking off their full coverage of the season with a full recap coming this weekend. That is in the Love is Blind podcast feed, not where we talked to Jason Reed the other day. It's Asia Welch and Mary Krakowski who are here. Yes, welcome.
Thank you. So excited to be here. I realize I've got to stop listening to nothing but Netflix on 2x speed because that song felt like it was
Thank
in
you, Will
slow-mo.
From America. Yes.
Right. Amazing song.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so excited to talk about Love is Blind because Love is Blind is amazing. I always just enjoy it thoroughly.
Okay. So, yeah, can you believe season 5 is here? Mary, how are you?
I'm doing great. I can't relate, Asia. I have that song on my phone, you know, for whenever I want to play, just along with all of the other Will from America podcast theme songs. They're
you
all
have a playlist?
Locked and loaded. Yeah, of course.
I guess from being in the Will from America inner circle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Who doesn't?
So we are ready to talk about Love is Blind. It's one of my favorites that I have been keeping up with some of the seasons. I think I missed season 4, but the good thing about Love is Blind, it's like the bus. You miss one, another one is right around the corner. Asia and Mary, in addition to Love is Blind, also cover Netflix's Ultimatum, which has had a couple of seasons as well. And Asia, of course, is the expert on all the blind love, but also covering the Married at First Sight.
Yes. These shows have the same theme, you know, they're the same network. So they're all the same minds are behind all these shows,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know. Of the three, like if I were single, Love is Blind would be the one I would do.
Okay. All right. Are you listening, producers? I hope so.
And honestly, for being a dating reality show, especially one that hinges on marriage, not too bad in terms of the
success ratio.
Ratio. I mean, especially when it comes to the most recent season, as of a year past filming, 3 out of the couples are still married, and I think 2 from each of the other seasons have all gotten married. We don't talk about the results of season 3. Season 3 was the unlucky season.
Yeah. Season 3 was a wash.
All right. And then I just want to highlight, Chappelle, the podcast we did with Asia's co-host from the Married at First Sight podcast coverage, Jason Reed, joined us as we talked about the film Love at First Sight And that was one of my favorite Nothing But Netflix episodes. We had a really good time talking about the movie that has been a number one movie on Netflix.
Look at us. Our fingers are on the pulse here at Nothing But Netflix. We're back on track. You know, for a while, Netflix has been having some weird top 10 results, I should say. Woody the Woodpecker was, you know, ranking number one for it, like at least 3 weeks. But now I think it's starting to reflect what the viewers want to see. I loved Love at First Sight, the movie. And so I'm interested to see if those opinions will translate to this podcast about Love is Blind.
Okay. Love at First Sight, the movie, not anything like Love is Blind, the TV show. Asia, could you just, for anybody who is listening to this podcast who might not know what Love is Blind is, could you just give us the quick premise of the show?
Of course. So Love is Blind is an experiment where they are testing if you can fall in love without ever seeing the person you are falling in love with and get engaged. So a group of singles, you have men and you have women. They go into these pods. They go on a series of dates with everyone. They spend about a week in the pods. And then at the end of that, we have like maybe in the past few seasons, we've had about five-ish people get engaged. Then they set off, they whisk away on like a getaway. And then that's when they, right after the pods, when they get engaged, they do a reveal and they actually see their partner for the first time. So this is when we get the real reactions. Then they have 4 weeks until the wedding. And so when we get to the wedding, that's when we see if they decide to stay together or decide not to get married and break up.
Yeah, Mary, for you, what is the appeal of Love is Blind?
I think for me, it's the fact that it's like a little more refreshing compared to all the other dating shows in that for the most part, most of the people skew closer to 30. And so you're not watching a bunch of 20-year-olds be like, when will I ever find love? And it's like, y'all, you're 20. Go to any bar. So you're actually finding people who want to be in relationships for the most part, which is why the success works out. And then for me, the other part that's great is the fact that you get to see them live their normal lives together for a little while. So it's not like just in the perfect picturesque scenario of, you know, an island or or a fancy house or something. They have to go back to their actual lives.
Okay. Now, Chappelle, have you ever watched this show before?
I have seen one-ish seasons of Love is Blind. I've seen whatever the last season was. I think I watched that one. Okay. That was the one with Jackie, right?
Yes. Season four.
Yeah, horrible person. I'm sorry. Horrible season. But then season two, I think I saw that one with Shake. Again, horrible season. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yes, so I am familiar with the Love is Blind, product that we get to watch. But I don't think I finished season two. I think I got pretty much through all of it. But I did have my favorites, so I enjoyed what I saw. It's just it's crack behavior, and I like to talk about it.
Chappelle, would you ever participate in a Love is Blind?
No.
Why
no,
not?
No,
why not?
No. But no. This is silliness. Get engaged to someone you can try to commit to someone that you haven't even seen. And then you come out of the pod and they look at you. Because this is my look. They come out the pod, they look at me, go, oh. I'm like, hey, it's me. What's up? And they're like, ugh. And
so you're afraid of the reverse. You're not afraid of what you would see.
No, I'm afraid of the reverse because the honestly, if you open the pod and you see me and you're like, not my cup of tea, I can understand that. I get that. Cool. Maybe everybody ain't for everybody. But if you fake it, if you decide to like, no, this is fine. What do you mean? Love is definitely blind. And then I got to watch the show back and you've been talking trash about me, telling your family like, your best friends and stuff. Like, do you see this ugly? You know, I can't do it. So no, this is not the show for me. And I really want better for a lot of these people who go on this show. I'm sorry. I want to know if the experiment is worth it for everyone. You know, like we know that a few people come out with marriages, but for everybody else, how much therapy did you need?
Chappelle, you're just not as desperate as the rest of us, and it really shows.
Look, I'm not willing to take that L. No, I'm sorry. When I get to the point where I'm desperate enough to have people actively talking trash about me behind my back on television, only for me to go and potentially be married to this person. There's a possibility that you can still be married to that person while you watch the show back and they're talking trash.
But it's about widening your radius, because you try this and if it works, great. And if it doesn't, maybe someone slides into your DMs who saw you on the show.
Yeah.
Now, that's possible. But Mary, is it worth being married to somebody and watching them bash you while you sit on the couch that y'all share?
I don't know. Honestly, with my timeline, I feel like that sounds great. If I could tell my parents, hey, within the next 3 months, I might be married, they'd be like, great.
Yeah, most of the marriages don't really take, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, most of the engagements don't. I would say a lot of the marriages do. And plus, you have to treat it the way that, like, the most, you know, I would say mature, reasonable people here do, which is that they get married and then they kind of like get married again later.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out. Yeah. Sorry. Mature, reasonable, not for me.
But Chappelle, how do you think you would do in the pods?
Oh, I'm great in the pods. You know, people, look, I look at this point, 3 years into podcasting, I could sell salt to a slug. The problem is when I get out of the pod. Inside the pod, I'm good. I could tell you what you want to hear. I'm not going to make some of the mistakes that I saw in this first episode of Love is Blind, because I definitely saw some glaring errors in, do you really want to get to know this person or do you want to make them run for the hills?
Yeah.
I don't think I would make that mistake, but I think in the pod, I'm good. Outside the pod, cancel the show.
And so we're going to talk a little bit about, we've all seen the first episode of Love is Blind season 5. We're going to talk about a little bit of what's going on there and some of the bigger moments and standout characters from this season. Is there anything different about season 5 of that is different from any of the other iterations of Love is Blind? Like, do they promote it? It's just like Survivor. It's like, it's Love is Blind 5, 6, 7, 8.
But it's not only 6, 7, 8.
No. Well, so besides Mom and Dad, that they were affectionately referred to, Nick and Vanessa Lachey, they're still here. That I would say they could have promoted this in a certain way, because there's something, if you've only watched the premiere, I'm not spoiling anything, but there's something that happens that's never happened before.
Oh my God.
In any of the previous seasons.
No.
So I'm like, why didn't y'all sell that? Like, that could have been in the previews.
Interesting.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So
I think they know they've got a hit and they know people are going to watch. The one thing I noticed was that they did do a promotion that I know Asia and I watched that was at the end of the ultimatum, where they showed a scene that we got in this first episode that I believe was the scene between Johnny and Izzy, I think.
Izzy, yeah.
Where they're talking and she says that her mom told her that she might not ever deserve love or find love or something, whatever it was. And
that's a big difference, I will say. You don't deserve love and you won't find love.
She might not be right for a relationship, I think is what it was.
Yeah, she might not be meant for a relationship.
But yeah, that was, we got that extended scene before and I don't remember getting like a full scene like that in promotion. I don't know. Not that that necessarily sold me on anything. Mostly I was happy to be done with the ultimatum.
Yeah. Okay. Mary, could you just speak to how big of a hit is Love is Blind?
I think it's pretty big. I mean, I know most people who watch dating reality shows watch Love is Blind. I know a lot of people who don't watch dating reality shows, but they do watch Love is Blind. And it's one of the shows that I think still has like, whatever the modern day equivalent to like water cooler chats are, like at work or other places that I've gone to where I don't know people and I'm meeting people for the first time, we'll just be like, so did anyone see Love is Blind? And everyone says yes, at least in the circles that I'm around.
Yeah.
I mean, even I watched it and I have no interest in the show, but I watched season two because everybody was talking about the characters. You know, it became very much like everyone's having a conversation and you're going to get left out if you don't at least go check it out. I didn't watch season three at all, but my timeline on Twitter just, you couldn't escape it. Every other tweet was like, Nancy and that barista are just not good together. You know, I was like, what? Who's the barista? You know, and so I really wanted to know who that was. But I just never joined in the conversation, Rob. I think it's a mistake to not watch Love is Blind if you want to be, you know, caught up to what everybody's talking about.
You know, we've talked about a lot of different Netflix reality shows, but I think it's fair to say that Love is Blind is the biggest of any of the Netflix reality, and it's not close.
Bigger than Too Hot to Handle?
I think so. Oh. I think so. Bigger than The Circle, which was a little bit, had a minute of a phenomenon.
Sexy Beast?
Yeah, I think so. Alone.
It's
Or Outlast. Yeah. I think it's outlasted all of them. Now, they had the live finale for Love is Blind. That was last season.
I hope you put some massive air quotes around the word live.
Yeah. Are they going to do that again? Or was it a debacle?
I feel like they should steer clear of that. I don't think they would try it again because it was such a massive fail. Like, there was no way that wasn't embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Like, the person that was just like, yeah, we can do it for sure. And the way that millions of people were just sitting on our couch for an hour waiting for nothing. No, they can't do us like that again.
Okay.
Oh, I saw that. I saw that on the timeline for sure. It was like, it's a live event. And I was like, oh yeah. Okay. Let's see what they're talking about. And it's just like tweet after tweet. I was like, where's the show? What's happening? I was like, oh, this is really good TV. Now you got my attention.
Me and Mary were prepared to go live right after it finished.
It's ready to go. Was Omer going to be there too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Mari. I just had to change it to my PJs.
I was going to come. I was going to join in too. I remember this. We had a whole conversation about it. I was like, I don't know these people, but I'm showing up. But I'd actually seen season four. So I did have things to say. But I think they dropped the ball on it for sure.
Okay. And speaking of dropping, they drop a batch of episodes every single week. Is it 3 weeks that we're going to get Love is Blind?
So the way they drop them in phases is the first batch is usually the pods. So when they're actually doing the blind dating part, and then the first batch moving into the second is when they also go on that sort of like post-engagement honeymoon with all the other couples, which was also really, really impactful for me the first time I saw it, because this show strikes a fun balance between wanting the couples to work out and get married, but also wanting them to like see the other people in person that they were interested
in. That's my favorite part.
Drama.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's especially like,
I really wanted to pick you.
Season one, they really, really did. Like, they really capitalized on that because there was one person who clearly just sort of said yes to a different engagement, hoping that she was going to be able to get with the original person she liked. And then week two, they drop the rest of the honeymoon and then moving into the houses. Week three is usually the weddings. And then sometimes the reunion is on a separate week. Sometimes it's on the same week as the weddings. And then months later, they will do a after the altar special, which usually these shows film like a year in advance from when they air. So the after the altar special is usually a year later, seeing like who's still together or who's not, or who's together but will break up like a week after the altar special, like that just happened.
And
I guess for like the specific episode breakdown for this season is they released four episodes this week, next week is three episodes, the following week is two more episodes, and then the fourth week is the last episode, which is the finale.
Okay. All right. And you can hear all the coverage in our Love is Blind podcast feed, which you could subscribe. Asia, what's the link?
So it's the Love at First Sight feed. So you can go to robhasawebsite.com/firstsightfeed.
Okay.
America, we are endowed by our creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
I want to start to talk about some of our faves from this season. So some mild spoilers from episode one here incoming, okay? So if you are very worried, watch episode one and then come back. But we're going to talk a little bit about some of the events of episode one. Chappelle, did you have any standouts in this cast?
No. They all seemed like they were all in for, you know, a good time. You know, they're all here to actually take this seriously and then, you know, try to find love. Like, I love that. I love that it seems like they're taking it seriously and that they really want to get the most out of this because, again, I just mentally, I cannot take this seriously. Like, when you talk about the batches being dropped, I'm fast forwarding past the pod episodes. Get me to the honeymoon. Let me see when they actually start to interact.
I like the pod.
Don't do that this season, though, Chappelle. Oh, you will be sorry. Do not do that this season.
I'm probably not going to watch the rest of the season, but okay.
Good. At least watch the rest of this drop.
I will watch the rest of the drop because there were some entertaining characters, Rob, to your point. I liked Lydia. I think she was my favorite just because she had a lot of personality. She comes out of the gate saying, this is one of my traits. You know, people say that I'm a lot. I don't think I'm a lot. I think I'm the perfect amount of me. And I'm thinking, that's amazing. That's how I feel about me. So, yeah, Lydia is cool. She's going to go get put to the ringer in this episode.
Yeah, here's Lydia. Should we talk a little bit about Lydia? Because Lydia has feelings for one of the men in the pods, but it is not necessarily reciprocated.
No.
Yeah. This was hard to watch.
Yeah.
It's very sad when you can tell that someone else is not feeling the same way, but I guess verbally she wasn't getting that. I feel like it was.
See, that's the thing. That's because it's Love is Blind. She, like, if she was on a regular date with Izzy, she would see, oh, his body language is off. He is not feeling what I'm saying. But the fact that it's silent, she thinks he's over there just like blushing. She has
listening
no idea.
Listening intently.
Yes. Yeah. Lydia also, now I've only seen the first episode, but she also, her first interaction was with someone named Milton.
Milton, yes, and, the geologist.
Yes, and there's always at least one couple in the Love is Blind batch where it's like a very obvious age gap that is probably not going to work, but they usually hang on to it for way too long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so... Yeah, this is, let me bring in Milton. I love this guy. And I was like, okay, this is going to be perfect. But then we only saw him like that one time. And then he was like, we never saw him again.
Yeah, with this age difference, I wonder if it would be, because like how Lydia was instantly kind of like, ugh. I wonder would it have been the same way, the opposite way? Like if he were 30 and she was 24, I feel like no one would have blushed or batted an eye.
Yeah.
Right? The 24 is very young for someone in their 30s.
My point of view. I agree.
And so yeah, so I'm like, I'm with Lydia on this one. Like, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. Like, you seem nice. I can tell you like rocks a lot. You know, we have that in common, but also this is a child. This is a baby. In comparison, right?
He has a microscope.
He does have a microscope, and he talks about quartz and things of nature like that, you know. And she too does. But I really think that she was probably looking for, if he's going to be younger, he has to give off like a more mature vibe. And geeking out over rocks doesn't necessarily give you that vibe. I don't think it kind of felt like, oh, cool, I got this cool thing I want to show you, as opposed to, you know, like, okay, we both like rocks, but, you know, I might be 24, but, you know, I'm mature for my age. I don't know if she got that.
Yeah. This guy was my favorite, and I don't think he's going to find love in the pod.
No, he's dope. He needs to go away from this show and go be happy. Just saying it.
Yeah. So Lydia, that there was a different guy that was like the hot commodity that was in the pods, and that was Izzy. And now we stan a reality TV Izzy for sure. But what do we make of this Izzy?
I'm gonna tell you what it messed
AKA
with my
Chris
mind.
Daughtry.
Right. It messed with my mind reading Izzy and not talking about Big Brother 25 Izzy. But Izzy seems very suave. He seems like he knows what he wants, but he also seems like someone where looks would matter. Like, I feel like if he were in a situation where it was like if he chose someone where the looks may not be what he was thinking, that's just the vibe I get from Izzy. I don't know if it's because he seems so confident or what it is, but it seems like Izzy is in a position where he's getting his choice rather than, oh, I wonder, am I going to be one of the people?
I mean, Izzy's in a position where he's having multiple people tell him that he's their number one, which, look, I'm not going to lie. If I was in that space, I'd also be trying to use that power.
If you were the Izzy.
No.
If I was, yeah, if I was Izzy and I knew that multiple people had me as their number one, I'd be feeling it out.
Mm-mm. I'm jumping out the pod. I'm getting out, jumping out the window. This is bad. This is bad. I feel
Which
bad for
this
man.
Which part is bad? You feel bad for Izzy?
He's such a hot commodity, right? But now he has to have the position of, now I got to go break all these hearts, you know? And it does start with, you know, some hard conversations in episode one. Imagine being one episode in and you already got somebody going like, I question if I'm even worthy of love. I'm like, whoa, baby, stop crying. You know, like, Asia, we sevens. Are you having conversations like this?
Absolutely not.
Right. We got to go. I'm alive until the wheels fall off or something. You think I'm going to have this moment? You crying, falling out on the ground and stuff like that on television in front of me? No.
But nope. Chappelle, come on.
What's up, okay. Mary?
Look, I'm gonna stick up for Love is Blind constantly here. So the editing of the show can't be trusted. We found out that people before who get married or get engaged in the first episode, because there usually is an engagement at the end of the first episode. This time there wasn't. We find out later that usually, yeah, that was actually like the end of the show. Like they or the end of the pods. Like they were actually in the pods for 10 days or however long it was of just 10 days of nonstop talking to this one person. So yeah, maybe some people are opening up and getting emotional, but for all we know, it's been like 5 days.
Yeah.
But he has to do it three times, Mary. Mm-hmm. Well, at least two. He has to do it at least twice. After the first one, I'm like, I'm out, y'all. I can't do that again.
I'm sure he's got an Etch-a-Sketch or something where he's hanging out and entertaining himself while they're crying.
Asia, just to speak to what you were talking about, that they released these bios and Izzy says his dream girl would be able to join him in the gym or on the beach for sand volleyball. So athletic women are top of mind. And if she has blonde hair and beautifully colored eyes, it's a plus.
Yeah, like I wouldn't be surprised if we hear from Izzy, you know. So what do you, you know, it's a Wednesday morning. Where are you?
Yeah. As long as he doesn't say, do you think I could carry you on my back?
Right. Oh my Isn't gosh. That what he said? Isn't that what he just said? He didn't say those exact words, but I mean, there was definitely some shake vibes going in there. Oh, you have to be blonde. I have to be able to carry you. Got to be on the beach. Okay, Izzy.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. We also learned he's been engaged before. So it always makes me question. Like, I don't think everyone that goes on this show is desperate. Like I said, like, I think this is a very great dating show for someone who is just like, hey, I'm there, I'm ready to be married. I just have no options, right? But someone like Izzy, he seems like, and I guess we haven't even talked about the fact that it's in Houston.
Yes.
I feel like walking around, I don't feel like Izzy would have trouble finding someone.
Chappelle, do you know any of these people?
No, I don't know any of these people, but Izzy's big insecurity is that he's bald. And there are plenty of bald people in Houston. Trust me, me and Asia, we frequent the area. And so there are bald people everywhere. But Izzy's like, I'm so bald that I got to hide in this pod or I'm never going to find love. It did feel a little unbelievable. Maybe he was brought in as a ringer. You know, maybe he's somebody who would be perfectly fine off the show, but they needed to, you know, they need to up their ratio. So they could bring in some hot people.
A woman went up to him and then took his hat off and then said, oh, you're bald.
She threw up in her mouth.
Yeah.
He was screaming. Probably at a bar and she was just saying something random. Because like, who at 30, what 31-year-old woman is like bald?
Yeah. But isn't it every bald man's dream to go on Love is Blind?
It sounds like that's what Izzy jumped at it. You know, like, no one ever has to know I'm bald. Maybe Gino and Jasmine from 90 Day Fiancé could take some some pointers from this guy.
Yeah, Love is Blind is bald man's paradise. Yeah,
right.
I feel like this look though is I've seen it 1,000 times: bald, beard, eyebrows done. Like. That's the style. If you're bald, Houston, you go for that look.
Yeah.
Shirt, outfit from H&M, definitely. Whole outfit, top to bottom. Yeah, no, this is a starter kit of some sorts. You know, this man can be found anywhere. I don't know. I think he would have been fine off the show. I don't think he had to do this.
Okay.
Well, the thing is, this is a TV show. Like, they don't tend to put unattractive people on a TV show, even when it's called Love is Blind. So I feel like while someone may not be your cup of tea, you can go ahead and assume that everyone is of at least average attractiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Mary, isn't the concept more for him to not see who he's dating, right? So he's supposed to be trying to move away from his, you got to have blonde hair, blue hair. Yeah, volley beach ball. Yeah, isn't he trying to step out of that box and maybe date somebody who he normally wouldn't date based off of their appearance? It's less about his appearance.
Ideally. But I don't know that that's going to happen. The problem is he's already having a, like I said earlier, he's being reinforced by his ability to pick and choose a little by the fact that he's such a hot commodity.
Okay.
It's the personality on this man, Rob. You can relate, right?
I wish. Yeah.
Rob, stop.
Rob, you would have loved Love is Blind.
I mean, I do love it. Very.
but you would have been on it. Like, I feel like you would have
Sure.
Thrived.
I would have been on anything. Thrived. I would have been on any show. Mary,
you have all the women. Rob doesn't take anything seriously.
Yeah,
right.
They wouldn't like that. Mary, what about for you? Any standouts, good or bad, from this cast?
Well, we already talked about Lydia, who of course was great. I think the other person they're really trying to sell us on in this first episode is Johnny. Mm-hmm. Johnny has a couple different connections here. We get Johnny and Izzy, Johnny and Chris. And you can tell that the show likes Johnny because even when other people are having emotional moments, we're getting Johnny's reaction in the background.
Oh, interesting. Good Love is Blind edgic.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know about Johnny. I feel like this is going to go one of two ways.
She's either, the lawyer, correct?
Yes. She's okay. Either going to be
get
the...
Get her at Pearson whatever.
Pearson, Harbin, Spectre, and Pearson.
Mm-hmm.
She's either going to be the unlucky in love person who it doesn't work out for, or she's going to be the villain of the season way or another. I could see her in a love triangle. I could see her getting engaged and then having some, I don't know, fears about people straying. I think that could happen.
Yeah, she says she hasn't been lucky in love because she always seems to pick the wrong kind of man.
Yeah. And now her eyes are set on Izzy. Well, now her ears.
Yeah. I don't know. It's so hard too, though, because it's like we want to see that about Izzy. But then maybe he's a sweet guy and that maybe that's what Johnny sees in going on these dates with him. Because, I mean, you look her two options. You have Chris and you have Izzy. They seem very different. So maybe she's just like, let's try both ends of the spectrum and then see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mary.
Well, I was going to say on that, like, while we just talked at length about Izzy, Chris being Johnny's other person is very interesting because I believe Chris is a little younger, but Chris is the one that we got the very deep story that came out of the first episode. So we got to do a lot of sex talk, obviously. But then they end up getting very, very personal, very deep when he talks about losing his virginity in Mexico. So I feel like that is definitely kind of the other end. And like most reality shows of any kind, having a deep conversation can tend to build bonds. That's kind of like the way people used to talk about it in The Bachelor was like, oh, if you've got a sob story, then no matter what it is, you know, or even if it's not a sob story, if you say it like it's a sob story, then that's, mm-hmm. you're going to feel like you built a deep connection.
Mm. Yeah. I was very uncomfortable watching this because I feel like I've yet to be that vulnerable that quickly with someone to where Chris was able to really open up. I think it's so impressive that some, like I said, these people go on the show and they sound like they were taking it seriously. And so he has this secret about how when he was sexually assaulted, basically, mm-hmm. when he was in Mexico, when he was a child, he was 17 years old with this person he was dating at the time or, you know, hanging out with at the time. And, you know, he felt like she took advantage of him. And he shared that story. And, you know, in that moment, the person on the other side of the wall doesn't see you, right? So they hear the story, but they don't really have that connection with, you know, what, you know, I feel like maybe they don't have like that visual of you, so they can't really empathize all the time. And so there might be some people who will hear that and it doesn't land the way that it should land. And it did feel like that him and her, they both had that moment together. So if you told me that that's what bonded them, I'd be like, cool, that makes sense. But also bonding over trauma is kind of like, you know, that's a slippery slope. You know, you really want to hope that there are other things in common. And even, you know, from what I can tell, she still felt like Izzy might have been at the top of her rankings. Every time they show Izzy and Lydia together, they cut over there to her. And so I'm like, you know, they're just making sure that we all know that, you know, she has other options aside from this man. I really don't feel like he should tell this story to everyone. And so hopefully, you know, either this works out for him or, you know, she goes ahead and cuts the cord, because I don't want her to keep him on the leash, that kind of thing, if she's not going to be taking him anywhere, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and one thing we have learned over the seasons is that, like, these dates last hours. So it's kind of like the equivalent of, like, how showmances pop off so quickly in the Big Brother house. It's they've spent so much time together talking. So it's like, think about the last date you went on. Was it four plus hours, you know?
No.
So it makes sense that amount of time, especially, I mean, time is probably just non-existent in just having this conversation. So it probably feels at this point that he feels like, okay, I can let this guard down with her. But you know, it is deeply personal, and it has, you know, it's televised. So, you know, just, yeah, he obviously felt safe enough for her. So,
can we talk about the big dramatic moment from this episode one of Love is Blind and bring in the Uche of it all?
If we must. I'm not prepared to argue with Chappelle about it, but
whoa! Oh. Okay. I don't know if you're gonna be arguing with me on this one.
Okay, good.
Okay, all right. Let's meet Uche.
Jacob Jones.
Yes. Okay. That he is a lawyer / entertainer, and that he's ready to switch up his dating habits, especially when it comes to putting an emphasis on physical appearance. He's not gonna do that anymore. He's looking to connect with an ambitious woman with a good sense of humor who will join him to create an us against the world way of life. And I think somebody heard him. That's my guess.
I mean, I'm a fan. I don't know if I'm going to be arguing with Chappelle and Asia on this one, but I feel like there is a person like Uche on every season who becomes my de facto favorite, and nothing they can do will upset me, no matter how wrong they might be about certain things or how right they are. I don't know. I still came away from episode one being Team Uche.
Oh, that last scene, this whole situation with him and Aaliyah. Which is, I thought it was funny. We saw him involved with two people. We saw Miriam and then Aaliyah. And with Aaliyah, it feels like they're hitting it off. They both love poetry. Things are good. They're vibing. They seem like they're the same. They might be twin flames, as people say. But then when Aaliyah finally lets down her guard to explain, hey, just so you know, I've cheated in the past once. This is what I learned from
I feel like this was like a little bit of like entrapment here on the part of Uche, because Chappelle, this was like a deposition that we would see covering Suits, where yes. like he asked her the question and then she answered him, and then he like went hard after her on the witness stand.
Badgered the witness. But does that make it entrapment, Rob? He asked the question and she answered it. And then he asked follow-up questions.
Mm-hmm. He didn't like the answer.
But
yeah, I mean, he doesn't have to.
Okay.
Right.
This is where I stand on this. I think that most people would say, in general, in relationships, in monogamous relationships, cheating, not good.
Right.
I think probably a thing that you're allowed to not want.
Exactly. And move on. Don't sit here and badger me for something I'm being vulnerable sharing.
I don't think he was badgering. I feel like this was from my perspective, someone who was like, man, I really like this person. I'm trying to wrap my mind around a way for me to feel okay with something that I don't feel okay with. And so hoping and asking questions, hoping that something she says will make him go, oh, now I get it. I can come to terms with this. And I feel like that's where the episode ended, was him saying he's going to try to come to terms with it.
This was the biggest red flag.
Red flag.
I've seen in my life.
Yes.
Because all it did was show me.
You need the props, I think, for these dating shows. Right? Yeah.
Exactly. All it did was show me how he would handle arguments. He asked her. It was all, so it wasn't about him not liking cheating. You don't have to like cheating. That it could be a huge issue for you and you have an issue with trust. That is totally understandable. My issue with him was his approach and how he talked to her and tried to, and the way that he was addressing her was, look, you cheated and that's awful. And I want you to make sure I know, you know that I think it's awful. Mm-hmm. I cheated when I was 18. That's different. All I did was kiss someone. You didn't even tell your ex that you what?
In fairness, that she was not satisfied sexually in the relationship.
In fairness.
It's not a great argument. Not a great argument.
But Chappelle, where do you stand on this? Do you think he was a massive red flag?
I mean, I came in here kind of leaning toward what Asia is saying, but I do feel like there's probably two sides to this story. Mm-hmm. I think that, yes, his approach was very much, he was very direct and he was saying exactly what it was he felt and he was telling her exactly how he felt about her. Is that how you win friends and influence people? Probably not, right? Are people going to come out of this thinking that wasn't pleasant? Probably not. However, one of the first things he tells these people is he's very direct. We see the women in their quarters saying, you know, he's very direct. And Aaliyah jumps up and says, I love that. Tell me exactly what it is. Yeah. Okay. You asked for it. So when he starts to be exactly who he had always been, I cannot fault him for being who he was. It's not like he turned up because it was an argument. He turned up because that's who he is. Yeah. He talks like that. Now, I cannot bear to see this woman sliding down the wall. Like, it felt like she was finally addressing that guilt that she had never addressed. And so when she's sliding down the wall crying, I'm thinking, is she crying because she thought she really liked that guy and that this feels like crap? Or is she crying because he finally made her take a hard look at herself and say, damn, I really did do a bad thing and but I never owned up to
that's
it.
That's not what she signed up for. This isn't like her therapy that he's exactly. Like Aaliyah.
The love of your life
look.
Should be a therapy.
She's like, that was 2 years ago. It's not that long ago. Where do you get off, ma'am?
Look, two years ago, pandemic, not that long
I
ago.
I already know that I'm going to be the one attacked for this opinion. But I just feel like, and look, I reserve the right to change my mind if I see different things from him in future episodes. I feel like so many people in these shows come across as extremely condescending and extremely preachy. And that's not how I viewed him. I thought
that's exactly how I
see. Okay. So if that's how you took it, I completely get that for me. Cause I've seen so many people like that where I'm like, ooh, get out of the room. You don't want to be talked to like this. The way I saw it was more like him sitting there just really analytically trying to be like, I need her to say something about the fact that she won't do this again because I want to be with her and I need to be able to trust that she won't do this again. That's understandable. It seemed to me more like he was really like just trying to come to terms with
and
it.
Maybe we'll get there because he does say about how like, I guess she didn't have to tell me that. She could have just not told me that. Maybe I'll go back to her. But I just thought that, like, you know, if this is, like, such a deal breaker for you, like, Uche, you could just move on. You could just, like, not pick
which
her.
Which is probably the most, like, the most healthy thing to do would be the second you see something that's probably not going to work, move on. There's a reason I have a lot of first dates first because there's a lot of things where I'm like, you know, don't need this a second time around. But if she does really not do it again, everything else seems so good with them.
Mm-hmm. He said, so you're a recent cheater. I'm sorry, sir.
He's not wrong.
He's not,
Define
that's
recent.
Casting all judgment on her. Like he's not listening and receiving.
I hear you.
I feel like that was stating a fact.
But that was a fact. I mean, like, because she said, that was a long time ago. He said, that's not that long. I'm like, he's not wrong. 2 years? Not that long.
I feel like it's the kind of thing where, like, I went on two dates recently, one with a person who had previously been married and one with a person who had previously been engaged.
Yeah.
The person who had previously been married and was divorced explained to me in depth why they were divorced. And I was like, I get this. And the person who had been previously engaged and broke off the engagement was like, yeah, just wasn't feeling it. And I'm like, oh, so that could happen again then with someone else. Like, we could get engaged and you're just not feeling it 2 years later.
2 years is a very long time, I will say. But hear me out. Okay, maybe like once upon a time, 2 years ago was not that long of a time. Now, 2 years ago, like if we go back to the September of 2021, people are probably like, hey, you know who's a pretty smart guy? Elon Musk. That he's got a lot going on.
Rob, you have kids, so time flies a lot differently. But like, Asia and I were watching Love is Blind 2 years ago. Love is Blind 2. Like, this is, I'm saying,
that is still a long time. I think it was a long time ago. If she was,
we were
like
watching
my
Survivor 41 2 years ago. That's how long ago it was.
There we go.
We were still doing nothing but Netflix 2 years ago. I'm just saying, it's not that long ago.
It just started.
I think that, yes, a person with more tact would have said, oh, you cheated. I'm not a fan of that. And then put that in their pocket and then went on. And this person, if he wanted more clarity, he could ask a lot of questions, which he did. But then there were times where he really challenged a lot of her questions. And I think that's where the line gets drawn for me. Like saying, oh, so you cheated 2 years ago. Isn't that, that's kind of recent. That's one thing. But to be like, oh, you're a recent cheater. It's like, yes. But also like, dang, why are you coming at me like that? It's like, oh, so you didn't tell him because you felt guilty. That's not what I said. But yes, that's how you felt. Like, you cannot tell someone how they feel about something. Like, again, if you're processing this, ask questions. Don't tell people how they are telling, you know, when they're trying to explain to you. So I can understand why that came off so poorly, because I was looking at him like, dang, can you get off her neck? But at the same time, he said, I just kept playing in my head. He told them, I am blunt and I am upfront and I say exactly what I mean. Okay, well, here it is. He's saying the things. And yeah, eventually he came around to, yeah, you didn't have to tell me that. I guess that does mean you changed. But when she kept saying, I've changed, and he basically was saying, no, you haven't, I think that's where the red flag kind of gets thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she,
yeah, you don't know
cried
her
in the hallway like she just got shot. You know, like, I was like, okay. He went a little too far.
He, like, had, it was as if he had all this loyalty to her ex. Like, he was not focused on literally, okay, that was something, like, the goal would be, have you moved on from that, like, I guess, behavior for him to say.
What if he is her ex?
Right. He says, thanks for being honest, but then
that
goes.
That would be a twist.
Right. He says, thanks for being honest, but then says, do you have more girlfriends or guy friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. He starts like, so could this happen in the future? But all he had to do was say, do you think you'd ever cheat again? But no, he's like, so do you have homies around that you could potentially fall in bed with? Just, you know, throw that out there. Mary, you didn't see nothing wrong with that question?
No, that one and the one about do you have more girl or guy friends? That one I was a little like, it's nobody's perfect on these shows. And I am also, I want to make this extremely clear. I am very team Aaliyah as well. Mm. Like, I really, really like Aaliyah. I just didn't find that I want them to work if they're going to work, because I like them as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
I would say this is more like a yellow flag.
Okay.
Asia. No. It's not.
Let
red.
Me no. Before you move on, Rob, this woman, you better not go back to this Uchi man. You better not. You better not. You stand up, lady. Don't ever have somebody make you look like that on television. And then
you'd
be like,
to
well,
tears.
You, to where you got poor Lydia is yelling at you like, you are better than this. You don't, you deserve better. Like, you really had to get coached up on national TV. And you're now like, well, I guess I'll go back into the pod with him. No, stay far away from that pod. The flag is red officially.
Okay. Mary, were there any red flag people for you?
Stacy.
Yes.
I don't know that I would say that Stacy's a red flag, but she's not. It's not my cup of tea.
Okay. Yes.
Stacy was another person we got who,
and this was the person that Izzy did like.
Yeah, she's the one that can guess shoe sizes.
Oh yeah, yeah,
queen. He had this man laying on his back with his legs up in the air to test his core strength within 5 minutes of the episode starting. Mm-hmm. I said, this woman knows exactly what she wants in life.
But she's giving the villain of the season for Love is Blind.
Stacey, yes. And Izzy.
She's giving the villain.
That's yes. what the Chappelle, if you watch this show, this is who the villains are.
Did Uchi just not make that woman crumple into the floor like a piece of paper?
He's not, yeah. he's not the villain. He's just the toxic man. There's a difference.
Okay.
So she if she and Izzy end up together, then we just have to feel like 100% he at some point asked her what her hair color was, right? Like that mm-hmm. probably happened. We got a whole montage of her talking about various people that she didn't like. She didn't like the country bumpkin who liked to fish. Mm-hmm. She had a super awkward date with Milton.
He said she'd get 100 likes on a fish photo.
Which is, I guess, a lot.
But she probably gets more than 100 likes on her photos if they go to her Instagram.
Ernesto burped in front of her and she was like, no. So
he said at least it wasn't a fart.
Yeah.
That would be low key ick.
I burp a lot.
Yeah. She's another one who we got in the background of several shots when other people were crying, especially. She was not laughing and pointing like some people last year, but she was like a little bit of the raised eyebrow. So I feel like she's got villain energy. What did you think of her, Rob?
Yeah, I definitely got that as well. She's like, giving a little bit like, who's the woman that had like the fedora that was with trying to get with the guy with the crazy eyes from a couple seasons ago? Yeah.
It's a woman.
The guy with like
the
eyes like bugging out of his head. That was.
Oh, Shane.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is, she's a little Shayna. Yeah. She's a little Shayna.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. I have to like invoke like taboo to try to explain people from past seasons of reality shows.
Yeah, Shane went on to be on Perfect Match.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, Shane. Why do I know that name? Oh, because I watched that season. That's mm-hmm. Who did Shane end up with on the show?
Natalie.
Anybody? Natalie. Yeah. How did they turn out? Spoil that for me.
They did not turn out.
Not good.
What?
They pretty much.
Oh no.
They dislike each other. I feel like hate's a strong word, but they don't associate.
Mm-hmm.
It seems from social media.
It didn't look like they liked each other that much on the show either. So yeah, I'm not shocked.
But you know who Shane did go on to date on Perfect Match?
Who?
Chloe from Too Hot to Handle.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Happily Ever After?
No.
No.
Oh, damn. Shane. Damn, Shane.
Yeah. What about for you, Chappelle? Anybody else stand out from this cast?
Those were the big characters from the first episode. I think a lot of people had some just like, you know, little character moments. Was it Taylor who asked JP to do the push-ups?
Mm-hmm.
And then she did, because she was like, spell my name. And then she spelled his name, JP. they seemed like...
I thought it was interesting. JP remembered his kindergarten teacher. Do y'all remember y'all's kindergarten teacher?
Yes, of course.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rob?
Yeah, I do. I do. Not a lot, but I do. It's in there somewhere.
It's that second grade teacher I forgot. I couldn't wait. But yeah, we get Taylor and JP. From what I can tell, I do not care about them as a couple. I think it's just because JP seems so boring to me. Not like, again, he's not here to appeal to me anyway, so whatever. I'm not being mean to him at all. It just kind of felt like, you know, it's very milquetoast of like a relationship, you know? What color are your shoes? Oh, red, white, and blue, huh? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
You know, like there wasn't any drama here at all. So, you know, they were another couple that got
they're
a
just
lot
the
of
nice couple.
Yeah, every season needs one of those.
Mm-hmm. They have they have big get married or get engaged first upside, I would say. Like they're the person who I would have assumed would have been the one getting engaged at the end of this first episode, when after their first date we see them say that they would propose to each other now. Like, I was trying to think of a polite, like a better way to describe this. I said that they both are very, very low energy. Like they're both just very,
yes.
Not a lot of emotion from either one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rob.
I was going to say that they're both like, just like at a different speed than I think a lot of the other people in the pods. And then they sort of like found their person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She comes in saying that, you know, now she loves herself enough to know that it's time for it. Like, she's able to start a family and love them, you know. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is good content. I think y'all are right. I think in the past, we've seen the couple that is very obviously like, they're fine. They're going to get married. They're going to live happily or it's going to be cute or whatever the whole time. But even them, I think, have been more entertaining than this particular couple. I just think they're like, they are so low energy that it wasn't able to keep my attention. But the moments that they had was pretty cool. I remember everything about them. He likes to cook. She loves grilled cheese sandwiches. You know, it was just very much like, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Someone I thought would get a little bit more screen time because we got like some highlights from him was Justice, who I had to Google, which I regret doing.
Why? Did you find something?
I had to Google the word he said he was really good at.
You had to Google? Really?
I didn't know what it meant.
Asia.
You've never seen Hair?
Okay, is that a show?
Never no, mind.
It's not a show.
Okay.
It's like a musical.
It's a musical.
Justice says he has a gift.
Yeah, God's gift to him is pleasure the opposite sex.
But that's also potentially like, okay, that's an invitation. And then it doesn't actually matter. Like, I feel like that, you know, it's a little late at the point where if he's lying.
I feel like I'm inclined to not believe someone who says this. Like, who's telling you that? How are you gathering this knowledge? Like, is this just something you've decided by yourself?
Probably.
Oh, you mean like he like crowdsourced? Like, so how was that? So
well, I'm just not like, people aren't always honest. And so people I'm not lying. Really yeah. sure. I'm not sure that he knows.
It's not his fault if people lie to him. You know, like he can only go off the data that he has. No? Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That was in the sex talk portion, you know? So I actually was kind of taken aback by that being so abrupt. And like it happened so fast. Like you're just walking through normal questions. And then all of a sudden they're like, boom. So you a freak or not? I'm like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. They're like, I'm a freak. I said, oh, okay. Okay. We got action here. Yeah. But yeah, now, several freaky moments for the people in Love is Blind.
Also, yeah, Justice in his bio, he says, stay thirsty because Justice's best habit is drinking water. Is that one of his tips? He stays very hydrated.
Can't hurt.
See, I am very concerned about a person who can. That's the most interesting thing about yourself is that you stay hydrated. Like you drink water, like everyone should.
Mm-hmm.
I think make sure you blink. His most interesting fact was that thing that you Googled. I think that's his selling point. Yeah, I mean, they have to have these conversations, I guess. And so you might as well come in with some data to support you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there you go. All right. Anything else that we want to highlight from episode one of this new season of Love is Blind?
I just want to say when I watch episode one, I was like, oh, okay. Another season of Love is Blind. We're getting going. We're some interesting people. We'll see how it goes. When I finished this drop, I was so excited to talk about it with people because it is so good. And I really don't think I'm even overselling it. There, like I said, there's something that happens that's never happened before.
A rave
before.
Review.
Yes. It's so good. So if you watch the premiere and you're here like, oh, maybe, you know, I just listen for the podcast. Maybe I won't keep going. No, keep going through episode four. And if you decide not to keep watching then stop. But I promise you won't.
Okay. And if you don't like it, you get your money back, listeners. Okay.
But pay first.
All right, Mary, you have any other thoughts on the new season of Love is Blind?
Yeah, I'd say if this is your first time, like Asia said, give it a chance. Mm-hmm. It's easy to watch on 1.5 speed if you need it. It's a great binge. And because they have something different with each drop in terms of the format of the show, like even if you're not feeling it in the pods, maybe you'll like the next part.
Yeah, okay. All right. So, Chappelle, we got to talk about what we're going to do next. And we have something interesting coming up that we're talking about Netflix reality. But there is a new strategic game maybe coming to Netflix.
Yes. New episode coming next Tuesday, I believe it, called The Devil's Plan.
The Devil's Plan. Yeah, I believe this is from the makers of the cult classic The Genius. 12 contestants face off in games of wit, strategy, and wisdom over 6 nights and 7 days. Who will be crowned the ultimate victor?
It sounds like a strategy game, a social strategy game, maybe. And we know that a lot of the Nothing But Netflix listeners are fans of that. We've talked about shows and games kind of similar to that, even if as recent as what Pressure Cooker that kind of had a lot of those vibes to it. And so I think that this is the natural, you know, show that we would cover here on Nothing But Netflix, don't you?
I think it should be a fun one. So looking forward to that. Steven and I used to podcast about The Genius once upon a time. So looking forward to diving in and talking about the first episode of The Devil's Plan coming next week.
Yeah. And from what I can tell, they have celebrities. Korean celebrities are going to be playing this as well.
That was how The Genius was too.
Out of the ordinary. Yeah. I was going to say, I think it's not out of the ordinary for like The Genius and stuff. I wonder if there's any going to be... Yeah, The Genius crossover. Maybe some of the Genius's all-stars will be on The Devil's Plan. Who knows?
Okay. We would be excited. So we'll find out next time on Nothing But Netflix. And of course, you could hear Chappelle and I talking about our spinoff series of Nothing But Netflix, Suits Yourself. We just got into season 3 of Suits, and we're talking about it every damn day. You could listen to us at suitspodcast.com. Asia, what else is coming up for you?
Yeah, so everybody can follow me at Asia Like Asia. That's A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A. Upcoming, we have the Survivor 45 draft. So very excited about that. If you haven't looked on social media, on Instagram or Twitter, at my video where I'm preparing for it, go check it out. I had a couple paid actors help me throughout the video. They earned their treats. And... the rest of this podcast coverage for Love is Blind will be on the Love at First Sight feed. That's where you can find all of Mary and I's coverage of Love is Blind, The Ultimatum. You can also find coverage of the show Married at First Sight with my co-host Jason Reed. It's been off since July, which is very new for them. Yeah. I know. I'm like, what is, should I be doing something? Married at First Sight season 17 should be coming sometime this fall. And when we find out, we will let y'all know. And then, of course, Big Brother 25. We're in the thick of it. So you can catch
halfway.
Me. Yeah, halfway. I love this season. I still do. Mm-hmm. So catch me for on coverage for that show.
Okay. All right. Well, great job here today, Asia. Mary, how about for you? What's coming up?
You can check out all the Big Brother 25 coverage that I've been popping on over on RHAP, and follow me everywhere at Frail Mary for anything else that might be happening.
Okay, Mary, thanks for joining us. Was this your Nothing But Netflix debut?
I think it was.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
All right. I mean, that's been too long.
Chappelle, you know what? I just feel like we talk a lot, even if we don't.
It does feel like it. You know, Nothing But Netflix listeners, Mary and Asia refuse to podcast with the kids. They don't let me on Love is Blind coverage, probably for obvious reasons. But I got to say, Rob, after listening to Mary and Asia argue on this podcast, I got to check out that podcast.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
I'll be there for that one.
Yes. Okay. All right. And then, Chappelle, what's coming up for you?
You've already mentioned the Suits podcast, and we've talked about Big Brother a little bit here, so I'll be doing both of those things. And then over on Post Show Recaps, I have The Walking Dead coverage. The Walking Dead Daryl Dixon is in full swing on the Post Show Recaps Connect, or the Connect on Post Show Recaps. Me and Mari are still talking about the Changeling, and Mari just had another project with Asia that she conveniently overlooked.
I know, I meant to say it because this is so amazing.
She's ashamed of me. What's going on here?
Mari and I are covering The Other Black Girl over on The Connect on post-show recaps. The show is so good. It's on Hulu. I am loving it. I'm loving getting a chance to host a podcast with Mari. So definitely go check it out. We're covering 2 episodes of podcast. So you can find that on The Connect feed.
Yeah, and I'll be joining them soon to kind of guest and be the third person in the room. I'll be the other black person on the podcast, and so that'll be fun. But yeah, people can follow me on Twitter at Chappelle's_show to keep up with everything and to find out what I got else coming up.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us for Nothing But Netflix. We'll be back next time talking about The Devil's Plan. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.